Hello and welcome to Talk of the Town, Buckeye Country 107.7. Dave Doney, Joel Riley, our special guest today, Lee Auer, Director of Bands for Newark City Schools. Mostly sunny today, high near 73, partly cloudy tonight, low near 51. And then for Thursday, cloudy, chance of showers, high near 74. Lee, obviously, season's already off to a great start. The football team gets the big win Friday night against Mount Vernon. How would you assess the first performance of the Pride of Newark Marching Band?
We had a wonderful first week out. It was touch and go the last week leading up, because we're like, well, are we ready to do this off the metronome? Which is always the first, like, kicking the birdie out of its nest. And the kids, they rose to the occasion. And that's, like, one of the most proud things we get to see is, like, okay, are they going to do it or not? And, you know, rip the Band-Aid off and do it. And they were awesome on Friday. And we got a great reaction looking Heights. So we're really happy with that.
When you talk about, you know, you get the kids out there and they're doing their thing, and the football team handled business against the Hornets, I mean, kids had to be having a lot of fun out there.
Oh my gosh, yeah. It was fun for us. Yeah. You know, not every game, especially the weather's bad. Like, it's not always that way, but when the football team's successful and the kids are into it, it's just fun. The time flies by usually.
As a director of bands, as the band director, easier for home or away games?
Depends. Usually I like starting on the road because don't have to worry about pregame, don't worry about a parade, all that extra ancillary things. They're enjoyable when we get to do them, but it's kind of nice to dip our toe into the water. And now this week with our first home game, it's going to be fun, but also there's a lot more to worry about when we go to Whitefield.
Yeah. How many kids in the band this year?
81 this year in the marching band, which includes 11 seniors. So we're really hoping for a big pop-off in numbers next year. So
Joel, I asked him, is that a good number? He goes, I'd like to have 400, and I'd still complain I want more. Can you imagine 400?
No, I know in high school in Mount Vernon, I marched with 100, and our band director, it was like herding cats most of the time. So you got to love it. You got to love what you do to do that.
Well, and you mentioned, Lee, you've been around at the high school for 10 years, and you've got the band directors that are at the middle schools have been together with you for 4 years. That does have to make it a little easier to have folks that you kind of have a decent feel for what they're doing when you're out there.
Yes. Like when we start having staff retire, move on to other career paths kind of thing, and we start replacing, it's like, I'm hiring friends, whether I realize they're friends or not, but going into, because if we can't work together, we're not going to be successful. Even if we are the smartest or just average, we're not going to be successful. But being able to coordinate with colleagues who all pull the same way and want to get things on the right track for us and make sure the kids are having an equal experience in all three of our middle schools, and then hopefully having a positive transition to the high school, which is, you know, we were talking about, that is the hardest thing, I think, for Newark as a district, is making sure those eighth graders stay engaged and involved when they get to the high school level. Mm-hmm. And we offer so much at the district. You know, I mean, of course, I'm biased. The band is the best thing that it can stay involved with, but I'm supposed to be biased on that.
But it's almost like athletics. I mean, you've got a head coach that coaches a certain way. You want those feeder systems to kind of do the same thing. Basketball, I mean, soccer, all of it. So it's the same kind of thing for the band.
Exactly. Yeah, we are much more similar to an athletic group than we are to anything else. And that's where marching band's kind of weird in that sense. We bridge that gap that sometimes exists, I think, really well. And it's a lot of fun to do that. And you know, one of the best parts of Friday night was they win, and Coach Franks is the first one running over screaming with the band and saying how much he appreciates us, which is like, holy cow, this is awesome. It's what a fun time to be here.
Yeah, he gets a little excited, I was told.
A little bit.
I mean, I watch him on the sidelines. I'm like, oh, look at Coach down there having a hard day. He gets into it, as everybody else is. But Lee, you and I both know, you've done this long enough, on a Friday night when you've got a team that even the fans came out when Newark wasn't as good as they have been the last couple of years, but when a team is good, man, the community just comes out of the woodwork.
It changes everything very quickly.
Yeah, it's so much fun. All right, take us through what a Friday night at home now will be like, because Friday's going to be a really special night because it's alumni band night as well, correct?
Yep, we started bringing back alumni in 2021, and we do it every other year. That's kind of what we have settled into, and we have about 60 people registered, so hopefully they all are able to make it on Friday night. But Fridays, we will finish school, and then the kids get changed into rehearsal clothes. They go out to the practice field, and we rehearse on a home game about 2 hours, and it's not hard knows rehearsal. It's okay, let's make sure we kind of touch everything, make sure we're ready to go on all aspects, pregame, halftime, and if we're doing postgame. And then we feed them dinner. The band parents prepare meals every single time we're here during a mealtime. Then the kids are getting changed. And this Friday is cool enough early this season. I can't believe on August 29th it's going to be cool enough for full uniforms. So we're going full uniform on Friday night for the first time this season. And we line up for our parade at about 6. We parade down at 6:15 right past Mr. Lamb's house. And we play the fight song for him every single time. And then we enter the stadium, and it's pregame about 6:45 p.m. And then kickoff at 7, and halftime usually around 8. And sometimes, and this week included, we'll do postgame with our full show. Since alumni are with us, we're going to do just a kind of an amended halftime with a couple classics that they like. They like the old warm-up the Pride of Newark used to play for a long time with Mr. Lamb, and then a couple other just standards that they've played before. So
and so the Kuma sets in at about 10:30. That's an unbelievable day. Are you kidding?
He's going to, because I was about to say, full day of school, cups of coffee.
2 hours of rehearsal, dinner, and then the full show. Well, my God,
the kids have the energy for it, but when we get to third quarter and they hit their break, it's usually like, okay, we gotta fake some energy here. And they get, luckily, the games are fun, and the cheerleaders come over fourth quarter and they do some fun back and forth with the cheerleaders, and it also
and then it's Skittles and Cokes. Let's get through the fourth quarter.
Well, Coach, I need some Starbucks.
We love to get a running clock when we're on the winning side. So the sooner we can
get. So do broadcasters.
I'm sure. Yeah, I was really disappointed when we lost the running clock last Friday, but the kids like it. They get a longer break because I give them a little more time off because it's just going to fly by.
Yep. Wow.
But yeah, football games are, and then we have to bus back to the high school. You know, there's the aspect of off campus. It makes it a little tougher, but when there's competitions, we don't usually make them unload and do all the extra stuff, but like taking care of the uniforms the right way and taking care of their instruments the right way are the two, once they're back at the school, as the most important thing before they're dismissed. Because if it sits all weekend, we had an incident last year where they all got soaking wet at a competition, and everything was moldy the next week. So we had an emergency cleaning session of everything, and that was interesting.
So who does that?
The band parents step in.
I guess my son was
lucky
in the band, and I was kind of curious as to.
We would not function without the band parents. Yeah. Like that. I mean, from every teacher that I hire to work with us, but every parent behind the scenes is just as important, if not more important, in some roles as the directors are. And like, it's a team. We have to function as a team, and it's not always perfect, you know, but we have to try to work together. And it's a good lesson for parents as well as kids to know that we are trying to coordinate and trying to cohabitate, and then also making sure we're all trying to contribute to the kids' success on the field.
Sure. I mean, that's what it's all about. You were in it. My son was in band at Watkins for 4 years. I mean, you just jump in and do it. Hey, we need somebody at the concession stand today. Okay, no problem. We need somebody in the pit crew. And I'm like, what's a pit crew? Am I smoking something, or what are we doing over here? No, you're going to go down there with the drums and help get everything set up. I mean, it's amazing how folks jump in and help out.
There's a lot to coordinate. Yeah. A lot to coordinate.
No doubt about it. Real quick before we take a break, this is a great season for you folks because of what happened right before school started, the dedication of the field for former director Mr. Lamb.
Yes.
That's got to be something neat for a guy who, you know, played and, you know, was underneath him. How much fun is that?
We had our first rehearsal mid-July over there before the dedication, and that morning was like surreal. Just walking out on that field for the first time with the kids, and I had let Mr. Lamb know, I let Mr. Lewis know, and I let Mrs. Wallace and Mrs. Reese know, and it was a nice little mini, like all of us being together on the field together for the first time, and there were tears in people's eyes, and it was really, really neat to see. And then fast forward through band camp, you know, just such a unique, like, where you don't have to worry about painting the field during lunch or something. Like, there was just less work on the staff. But we still had to prepare everything, get it ready. And, you know, like, just going back out there at night, it was just everyone like, this is real. This is ours now. And so special. And then the dedication ceremony, the words by Mr. Lewis and Mrs. Wallace and Mr. Lamb, you know, everything they said was just so heartfelt and so special. And then Mr. Lamb talking about his is the only thing more important than having his name on that field was his granddaughter to share his last name, which is like, and they were able to come up there with his son and his daughter-in-law and up from Cincinnati. And that was so cool to have them there. And like the amount of former band parents and former students who were able to attend and share that moment. Special is the right way to put it, because I'll never get to experience something like that again for someone that so many people care about so deeply.
Yeah. You feel the pressure of having to kind of keep his tradition alive?
Not really, no. Honestly. Like, because I'm surrounded by such great students and staff and parents that it makes it easy in some ways. You know, there's the hard stuff, of course, and it's like, this is why you get paid the big bucks. It's like, well, I get an extra $1,000, whatever it is, more than someone else or whatever. It's like, but it's worth it because, like, I would happily be the lightning bolt, sorry, the lightning rod for something that is negative, you know, take it out on me. But when it's positive, we all should share that success.
Sure.
Like, that's worth the extra time or pressure or whatever. But being able to share the positive with the students and the staff, I think is extremely important what we do. And, you know, that dedication ceremony, just like, man, this is, I'm small potatoes when it comes to what the legacy of this program and the legacy of these kids and the legacy of, like, long-term directors like Mr. Lamb are.
Explain to folks why that was so important to get that field. Now, you just talked about just the simple, not simple things, but painting the field and that. But, I mean, it is nice that these kids have ownership now. Like, that's our, I know you guys share it with other programs there at the school, but, I mean, it's for the band.
Yeah, I mean, the whole reason we wanted to even start was because our field was so uneven. You know, like, the kids are twisting ankles or slipping and falling or whatever. And by midseason, even before school starts, we are without grass on the real grass field because we were killing it and it was just dirt. So anytime it would rain, it'd be a mud slick the whole time. And it was like, why can't we? Our kids deserve better. That's where this really started. And then on top of that, when we go to football games or competitions, they're always field turf. And it's like, wait, we can address two problems here. Be consistent with what they're rehearsing on, with what they're performing on, and also make sure the kids aren't risking injury, instruments damage, anything like that. And then also just having the consistency of what we're doing day to day, and saving the time on my own weekends is an ancillary thing, like an extra thing that was a positive. But, like, that's not a reason to get a $500,000 or $1 million facility built, is to, so Mr. Hour has an extra hour free on the weekends. But it's an added bonus to know that we don't have to worry about this, this, or this, and it's always going to be the same. And, like, being able to share it, like, that's awesome. Like, I cannot be more thankful that we did make the decision to move it from just a band practice field where it already was to something that is now featured. The kids have changed for the better in the sense of they feel a positive pressure of they have their peers. We have parents. We have commuters driving by all the time. One of my former students is a bus driver. He drives his route. He sees us out there. He honks. He's like, oh, that's me. I'm like, oh, so I'll wave next time.
That's awesome.
And, like, there's just something has changed, and it's for the better. And I'm so thankful for the unexpected positive changes from the field that have happened.
A smart man that he didn't lead with, I'd like an extra hour off on the weekend instead of the kids. Smart man there, because I'm not sure that would have worked out so well for you. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more Talk of the Town and Lee Hour on Buckeye Country 107.7. Hey there, folks. Dave Doney here.
And Joel Riley.
We're your hosts for Talk of the Town, your go-to podcast for everything happening in our local community.
That's right, Dave. We dish out the latest on events, interview local leaders, and we sprinkle in a little fun.
More than a little fun. So whether you're a longtime resident or just passing through, join us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for a good time and the inside scoop on all things local.
Yeah, don't miss out. Hit that subscribe button now and never miss an episode on your favorite podcast platform.
Or visit our website at WNKO.com to stay in the loop. And if there's a guest, event, or topic you think we should be talking about, send us an email to news@WNKO.com.
I love it. Tune in and be a part of the conversation.
Welcome back to Talk of the Town, Buckeye Country 107.7. Dave Doney, Joel Riley, our special guest today. Lee Hour, Director of Bands, Newark City Schools. Beautiful day today, mostly sunny, high near 73. Partly cloudy tonight if you're heading out to Millersport for the Sweet Corn Festival. And then Thursday, cloudy, chance of showers, high near 74. You like doing the parades if you're in them?
We don't have to do it.
You don't do any of them?
It's the county schools that do the Sweet Corn Festival.
Do you do it?
I did in high school.
Yep.
But that's the last time I did the Sweet Corn Festival. We do pumpkin show each year. So
yeah,
that's a lot of fun for the kids and us.
I was going to say, because I know my son, when he was at Watkins, he would go and he would really look forward to the pumpkin show.
The kids like exam school.
Yeah. What do you mean, kids?
Always the ulterior motive.
Well, you guys are going to be busy this year, not just Friday nights and doing for the ball games, but you got a lot of competitions you're going to be taking place in.
Yeah, our show this year is called End of Days, and for my own kind of philosophy. We've kind of avoided anything that might seem scary or dark or anything. And, you know, one of our directors had this show idea, and I was like, you know what? We like the music. Our drill writer and our designer like the music. So it's music by Muse, music by an artist called Matt Maltese, and then something from an anime the kids all know about called Attack on Titan. And so the show is like this loud and in your face, and also some really beautiful sensitive moments. And we have some amazing soloists. That's probably the best part, is getting to showcase some of our best musicians we have in the entire band program. I'm going to name them for you so that way they get some little airtime. We have a trombone soloist, Jude Scott, and a trumpet solo, Gavin Iden, another trombone soloist, Theo Anderson, and our alto sax, who's featured in our ballad, is Chris Lawrence. And these kids, for the first time Friday, they'll get to do the whole show and get to see them like strut their stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's so cool to have like your best and brightest share their talent with everyone like that. And we go to 6 or 7 contests this year. We start next week at Licking Heights, so we get to go back to where we just were on Friday night, which is a nice rep to get a practice in on that field a couple weeks beforehand. We go to Hilliard-Bradley on September 13th, and they also host state later in the season, so that's also another, we try and book our shows to get our best leg up for our kids, and so they're as comfortable as possible, because it's like, oh, I've already been here. It's a lot different when you go back and it's, oh, now it's state. It's not just a contest.
I mean, people may not understand that. I mean, just to be in that venue, it gives them
Acoustics is different, and just like you see the stands, you know where you warm up, like just the going through the same thing multiple times makes it easier on like whether you realize it or not, it helps you out. We go to Bloom Carroll. We haven't been there in a few years, and we have a week off for homecoming. We'll be at Licking Valley. That'll be sometime during the daytime. We don't know what time yet. And then what the kids are, I think, most looking forward to, we're going to the Buckeye Invitational at Ohio Stadium, and we'll be under the lights in the shoe at 8:15 p.m. on October 11th. Nice. And that is going to be so special. Like, we've done it a few times in the past, but it's been 3 years. I think the seniors, freshman year, they got to do it. And that is always just...
Oh, I can't imagine.
Yeah, like walking in the horseshoe. You know, I mean, I got to do it all those years at Ohio State. Right. Like, I was in school, and the kids might never get to experience it. And for them to get to experience it, it's like, what? This is the stage we're on? Like, mm-hmm. that's, and also, like, you're surrounded by other amazing bands. Like, we go after, I think, Beaver Creek High School from the Dayton area, and they are one of the best in the state. And it's so cool to follow a group like that. Last time we went to the Buckeye Invitational, we followed Grove City. You know, they're one of the best in the state. It's just like, you're not there just, like, at a normal contest. And that's not a negative towards the other bands, but, like,
sure,
you're with some of the top dogs in the entire activity in our own state, which is a lot of fun.
And is that an invitational then? Are you invited? How does that work?
You apply to go.
Okay.
And they try to rotate through if there's more people who want to go than they have spots for. Like, the show bands, they have slots designated for them, and they have slots designated for competition bands. And then at the end of the whole thing, Ohio State does the ramp entrance and does the halftime show and does Script Ohio, and then they do awards for all the participating bands. So the kids get like a quarter empty Ohio Stadium for just the band kids and band parents. And I, like, even my own family, I'm like, hey, it's $20 or whatever the price is this year to come see the Ohio State band. And usually that's what the family cares most about seeing when they go to a game, unless it's a big game like this Saturday. It's like, no, I'm there for the band.
Yeah, I won't argue that. My wife would never get up at halftime.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah.
I mean, she's like, nope, I'm going to watch a halftime show.
Yeah. And so, I went to the playoff game last December. I'm like, I can't miss the ramp entrance. Like, old habits die hard.
Yeah.
You know, I will never, it's not worth going to the game if I don't see the ramp entrance. Getting the kids to see that up close. And, you know, in the summertime, we talk a lot with the kids about, like, drum corps and drum, like, DCI and, like, the Blue Coats, because they were in first most of the season and ended up finishing second this year. And we were, like, bummed out, but we're like, oh man, we need the kids to see a drum corps in person, because just seeing things on video is great. We have that access, but getting to do it in person, and we're really optimistic we're going to host a drum corps. We don't know who next summer, but they will hopefully find that out in the next few months. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited for it. We end our season with our home invitational October 18th, and then presumably state back at Hilliard-Bradley on October 25th. Mm-hmm. And then that's kind of the wrap of our season.
It's a long season.
Yeah. Yeah.
It goes by fast.
It flies by.
4 months and then
flies
boom.
By.
Yeah.
And that's when Sarah Wallace and Lou Reese came by the first rehearsal we had on the new field. That was something we talked about. Like, it was just almost exactly a year ago when I met them and the funding got going with the field. And here we were, not even a full year later, and the kids were stepping onto the field to rehearse for the first time. I told my dad the night that I met Mrs. Wallace, I said to him, I was like, well, I'm going to go to bed tonight and I'll wake up. It'll be end of October. And it's that way every year. And I mean, it's great, but also like blink of an eye, you miss it. And that's kind of an angle I take with the parents to get, hopefully try and get them to get involved. Like, you get to see your kid in a completely different like venue, and they are not the same as what they are when they go home frequently. And like, also I make this analogy too, like it's almost like the caterpillar goes into its chrysalis or a cocoon, and the kids change in high school the most of any part of their lives, and then probably even college, and they come out a completely different person. Yeah. And that's, you're there to see that, and it's so special for us as directors and teachers to get to see that, but like, come be part of that with our students, because it's pretty awesome to see what young people can do when given the right like direction and given the right focus.
I wish you were a little bit more passionate about your job.
I got to back up, though. I got to ask one question. You're talking about featuring your soloists.
Yeah.
So you got 82 in the band?
81, yep.
That's a big, fat sound.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go from that big, fat sound to a soloist, acoustically, how do you handle that? I mean, does the crowd quiet down?
That's a great question. So marching band now, as a teacher, I want the kids to be heard. So we've invested in really, really nice audio equipment. So, I mean, we have our own PA system that is top notch. One of our staff members designed it and has helped guide me to what we need to purchase over the years and make sure. So every soloist is mic'd, even if they're a brass instrument, but especially if it's a woodwind instrument. But the idea is to make sure they are heard and the band can still play musically while that soloist does not get buried.
Okay.
So, I mean, three of our four soloists are brass instruments, which normally I would not mic, we're trying to add some cool effects, you know, whether it's a reverberation or a distortion or something, we can do that. But other times we want to just make sure that beautiful sound is heard. And so there's a lot that goes into like designing that and programming that into, he's live mixing like levels as we go.
Wow.
So I mean, there's, and most, like if you look at the top tier groups, I mean, they're investing millions of dollars into their equipment to do that. I mean, we've invested a lot, but nowhere near that amount. But we still, I think it comes across very, very well, and that gives us a lot of flexibility, because even not related to the marching band, we use that when we take the jazz band to the Canal Market or do our Jazz on the Lawn concert, various things. We can take care of our own. We're like self-sufficient with our generator, our sound system, and our kids. We can pretty much do anything, anywhere, anytime. So it's kind of nice.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, we want the kids to be heard, too. That's really, I mean, football crowds are always different than competition crowds, because not everyone's there for the same reasons, and that's okay. But competition, they're there to hear the band. So you could get away with not having a group mic'd. And I judge music for our state organization, and I have to be very careful when I'm critiquing if I'm making a comment about reinforcing or not reinforcing a solo, because not everyone has the resources to do that. And so it's like, hey, I would consider doing this, but you're not going to hold that against a group either.
Sure. You know, with your show, do you have the kids with input on that?
They do have input. I can't say we listen to much of it, but I like...
Sounds like a parent. A parent of 81.
Yeah, I hear your stand, but go to bed.
After you march.
I hear what you're saying, but do your homework.
No, I mean, they always have interesting ideas, and some of them like have really good ones, but the other ones like... that's not how, we can't do like a Wicked show. Wicked's cool. We can play something in a concert from Wicked, but we don't design shows usually around that like anymore. It's usually around an artist or a theme, and every year is a little different. Mm-hmm. I'm not telling you on the air, sorry. We already have next year's show thought out, we think, which is really early for us, because this year we were really late in coming up with what we were going to decide. So every year's a little different too, and it's unique to, like, sometimes something just comes to us randomly, and other times like, oh man, I don't like this, I don't like that, and we just go back and forth, and it's a very collaborative effort with my colleagues and I to try and figure out what those shows are each year. But the kids always get a chance to give us some ideas, and usually like, that's a good idea for Pep Band, or that's a good idea for a concert, but not often is it a marching band thing.
Real quick, technology, I mean, you see now, I mean, Ohio State, you know, iPads, and they're doing all that. Is yours the old draw it up and then just go, or how do you guys do it?
Our drill writer sends us the files from the software that they use called Pyware, and what they can generate from that software is the kids all get their coordinate sheets, which is not drawings, it's just like chart one, two steps outside the left 40-yard line, three steps in front of home hash. And they basically learn how many counts from point A to point B to C all the way through the show. And then we go through and connect that to the music stuff. So very rarely do they ever see the full charts, except for when they see the videos that we show them after we do a performance, usually. And that just reminded me, I didn't show the video from this past Friday to them. I should do that.
We're so helpful here.
You are. That's great. Talking through my issues. So we'll usually do that. But almost everything is all on computer. You know, it's very rarely done by even us. Like, we pay someone who's like, that's part of their job, is what they want to do, is they write shows for people. And then once we have the drill, that just shows them where they go on the field. And if there's a hold 16, it's like, okay, visual coordinator, what are we going to add here that adds something? Then we can't just stand and play for 16 beats and then move on. You got to do something interesting. And even now, when you're on the move, you should be doing something more than just on the move. You got to come up with something. And usually the shows are designed where, if it's a really technical part for an instrument, they stand and play, but they're like in cool poses or something we come up with, and try and make sure those right instruments are in the right place. And our show, well, the end of days, like, we came up with something mechanical, something like structurally. So we have scaffolding we're going to paint, and they're going to be on the field, and we have kids climbing up on top of them. And it really, we didn't take them to heights last Friday because it's just so much to take everything on the road. But this Friday, when we do post game, we're going to have the whole dog and pony show will be out there. Not everything's 100% painted and ready, but we at least need to see.
Yeah, you get it out there.
Like.
Yeah.
And with a week to the first contest from Saturday, we want to make sure everything's lined up, or we know what we still need to finish off before we get to Licking Heights next Saturday. So
it's not your grandma's old band, is it?
No. I mean, even when I was in high school, I mean, there was a front ensemble, but it was like four instruments and no sound reinforcement. And so it was a lot different. No props. And it was, so that was in the late 90s, early 2000s. And it's changed dramatically in 25 years, basically.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And it's cool. It's a lot of fun.
The kids like it, and seems like you like it. So
The good never outweighs, is never outweighed by the bad.
Yeah.
Is never outweighed by the bad. And as much as there's this, you did this dumb thing, or I said this dumb thing, or whatever, negatives can come from adults or students. The positives of what the kids experience is what we try and focus on. And, we all make mistakes too, so that's, we're around each other a lot. And I remind the kids, like, hey, who do you argue with the most? Probably your family, because you live with them, but also you're going to be around us too much, so just don't let something boil up. Now's the time to address it, and let's be happy and have fun together.
Well, right, it seems to me like it's working.
I mean, I appreciate that.
It's a pleasure having you in. I mean, you got the new field, you got a lot going on. He even said, hey, do you mind if I come back in a few months and bring some of the other band around? I'm like, bring them in.
Absolutely.
Because I want to know about you. We're gonna be like, all right, tell us about the real hour. Is he really happy all the time?
Yeah, sit him in the hallway. And
that's exactly right.
I like the way you think.
I'm animated, but not always upbeat. Let's just say that.
Well, Lee, it's always a pleasure to have you in. Check him out. You got the alumni band.
Yep, this
Friday
night.
You said, what, about 60?
About 60 alumni, yep.
So you're going to have 140 out there. I know you would like 150.
Yeah.
But
it'll be fun, yeah.
Yeah.
It's always nice. And there's a few. Billy Edwards is one. He comes back, and he just busts out all the high notes on the trumpet, and I watch. I'm waiting for the blood vessel to pop out of his forehead. So he gets picked on by everybody, but Billy's a great guy.
So how many? Just real quick, I mean, how far back will you go with alumni?
I think we have someone from the late 60s.
Really?
Even, yeah, that far. But I mean, most of them are from the 90s and 2000s.
Sure.
So it'd be great to have a ton. And Mr. Lamb already pointed out to me that in 2 years, so in 2027 when we do it again, that'll be the 20th anniversary of his alumni band they did for his last year, because they knew it was going to be his final year going in.
Yeah.
So we're going to, like, as fun as it's been 21, 22, now 23, and now this year, we're going to really try and get a huge number to show up in 2 years for the 20th anniversary.
Something tells me you won't have to twist a lot of arms.
I hope not. I mean, some people are resistant to it because they're like, oh, I don't want to go. Like, this person's doing it. I'm like, just show up, please.
Yeah.
Come and play and have fun.
Remember who you're doing it
for.
Yeah,
ignore. Like, I go back for OSU alumni band sometimes, and it's like, oh, that person. Like, but there's 600 people. I don't have to talk to them if I don't want to.
You do the cruise?
No, I've never done it. I think that's something when I retire I'd like to do, because it looks like a lot of fun. And I have several former band parents who've gone recently, and they love it, and their pictures look like a blast.
Yeah, I had a physical therapist who was in the band. I wish I could remember her name. And she does that every year. She says she won't miss it. She enjoys that immensely.
That's awesome. Yeah, something to look forward to if I get to retire.
Take us along with you. Again, I want to thank Lee Auer with the Newark High School Director of Bands as they are getting ready for their big show. show on this Friday night when they're home against Mount Vernon. So check them out at Whitefield. Be sure to join us Friday morning on Talk of the Town as we'll have Christy Hawthorne on from Licking County Soil and Water Conservation District. They've got the Big River Roundup coming up, and she'll talk about all that's going to be taking place and the need for volunteers as well. So that's on Friday's Talk of the Town.